Well, there you are, and welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. Think back over your summer. What were your three favorite tables? What were your five favorite moments? And what has God been trying to show you the past 3 months? Perhaps you heard it, but maybe you didn't. Especially if you are coming out of either a busy summer or a barren summer. I encourage you to sit a spell today at Redemption's Table. Who knows? This might just be the moment God has been waiting for to get your attention.
Take a moment and let it all sink in like a road trip. This life is a combination of destination and all that's in between. So let's drive and see what we see. Take a step up and look back at the view, all the way from the cactus to canoe. We're holding on to every ounce of sunlight that we can of the day that we never wanna end. This is the summer of memories. We won't forget these nights. Jumping in the water, sitting round the fire, singing songs like howling wolves in the night. This is the summer of memories. We won't forget, we won't forget these. I've lost count all the detours that we take, cause there's more to see than following the maps on interstates. So I roll the window down and let the air pass through my hair. These are the days that I never wanna end. This is the summer of memories. We won't forget these nights. Raindrops on our faces, late night stargazes, and questioning the meaning of this life. This is the summer of memories. We won't forget these nights. Jumping in the water, sitting round the fire, singing songs like howling wolves in the night. This is the summer of memories. We won't forget, we won't forget.
Well, that's another great song by the group The National Parks. Go explore them, the real parks and the singing parks. Now, we all have just experienced a summer of memories. Perhaps you actually enjoyed some of the memories the national parks sang about. Jumping in the water, a road trip, sitting around the campfire, singing songs like Howling Wolves in the Night, late night stargazes, raindrops on our faces, questioning the meaning of life, etc. I hope you did better than I did. I'm 1 for 7. The rain. But my season's coming up. These past few years, I've traveled more during the autumn than the summer. So as you think back over your summer, what were your three favorite tables? Those moments when good food, favorite people, and redemptive, rich conversation came together. Can you think of three? All three of mine happened in June while visiting my family in Texas. it does not get any better than the Barge family having dinner on the patio of our favorite Mexican restaurant on the planet, Joe T. Garcia's in Fort Worth, Texas. And it has become even sweeter since the grandkids have come along. Also during that same weekend, my son Daniel grilled for granddaughter Olivia's 7th birthday, and we also went out to eat another night at Torchy's Tacos, another great place to eat. What were your 5 favorite moments? I've not had many opportunities to speak this year, only a handful. But in July, a door opened for me to share a series I've been trying to introduce to churches, small groups, for the last 2 years on Jesus' Beatitudes. Steph Cherry asked me about those 5 nights last month when she was a guest at the table, but that part of the conversation didn't make the final cut. So here it is now. But also another thing, you know, you want to talk a little bit about the Beatitudes. You know, all of July, that's what I did. The 2 things I did was to serve fathers in Montgomery, Alabama, and then go up every Tuesday night at a church in Birmingham to share the Beatitudes. Did that for 5 Tuesday nights. And that was it. And those 2 things kept me, just felt continually exhausted the whole month, even though that was what all I was doing.
Well, it's spiritual exhaustion on top of it.
It was, yeah.
It's good. It's good to share and talk about it. And at least the part where you're sharing what you're doing and what, like the with the fathers and the Beatitudes.
Yeah. It was felt like totally 5 different evenings because my spirit each evening was a little bit different, or the preparation in each one of them was different. The first night I was just excited. I just got overexcited. And then I went to the counselor, going back to personality types, INFJ. He said, we are, because he's one too. He said, we are scuba divers and sponge wringers. He says, we go down, we dive deep with sponges and fill them full of water. And then we come to the surface and we want to share what we found going deep. And then we start wringing out our sponges. And it's like the capacity to pour into something, someone, is very limited, maybe about the size of a shot glass. And so it doesn't take long to squeeze that sponge. And, you know, they've had enough. And that's kind of how I felt the first night. It was just like I'm trying to figure out how to work 8 Beatitudes into 5 evenings. And it worked. And the Holy Spirit used every one of them was a different expression of His Spirit working. But it was like, okay, which horse am I getting on tonight? There are five horses in the corral. And some are a little feistier than others. And some are, you know, gentler. And so it's like, oh, which horse? Oh, I'm on this horse tonight. So it was fun. And I'm grateful for it. So
as you look back over your summer memories, what's the spiritual takeaway? What has God been whispering to you? As I said at the top of the episode, if you have had a busy summer or a difficult summer, you may not have caught what God was saying. So how do you go back and recover what you might have missed? I encourage you to take notes on your life. If you did not journal this summer, perhaps you kept a calendar. Perhaps you took worship notes or Bible study notes. It's not too late to pause right now and do some reflection before summer completely gets away. I have recently been drawn into the word confluence. A confluence is a place where 2 or more rivers or streams merge together. That fascinates me. Back 40 years ago, when I was youth minister in Maplesville, Alabama, we would often go to Bulldog Bend to canoe the Little Cahaba River. Whenever we reached the confluence of the Little Cahaba and the Cahaba River, the water widened, the current was swift, and sometimes, depending on all that had happened upriver, to both of those currents. One stream might be muddy and full of silt, while the other was clear. Confluences fill me with wonder. I want to journey upstream to see where they came from. For example, I want to go to Lake Itasca in Minnesota so I can walk the 20 to 30 feet across the rocks where the mighty Mississippi River begins. A confluence is kind of like a reversed fork in a road, only it's made of water. Wherever you are right now, stop and look around you. You are standing, sitting, riding at a moment in time in your life where you are positioned at a confluence right now. Your life on this fifth day of September 2024, or whatever day you happen to listen to this podcast, you're at a confluence. You did not get where you are today by yourself, other people, other significant moments. The way God wired you, created you, has brought you to today. What would you say are the biggest tributaries, the biggest streams, the biggest rivers of your life that strongly influence the course of your life right now? My tributaries are Jesus, family, the outdoors, curiosity, and wonder. I have others, but those are the ones that carry the most weight, that have the strongest pull right now in my life. So much of me and who I am flows down from these sources. But what happens when you get stuck? What if your current river looks more like a desert? What if you've run aground because life has become spiritually dry? What if you can't find the undersong? That's a reference to our August 22nd episode. An undersong is a song that is around you right now, whether you hear it or not. It is a song God never ceases to sing to you. Listen for the undersong of your life. What is there that you do not know is there? I have spent a lot of time in the desert, both spiritually and physically. I lived in the Chihuahuan Desert for 17 years. I spent a lot of time hiking in the desert, especially in Big Bend National Park and Guadalupe Mountains National Park. And I'm here to tell you, it may look dry as a bone, but there's water all through the desert if you know where to look. And there is evidence that there has been an abundance of water in Big Bend sometime past. Slick Rock Canyon is an example. It's a deep cut in a mountain that some ancient river carved out smooth as polished stone. If you go there today, you would not imagine that any water had ever come that way. While cutting across the desert one day, I came upon an entire hillside as long as a football field or two, totally covered in seashells in the desert. On another day in October, I rounded a bend on a secret trail a park ranger had told us about, and my heart leapt in my throat when I saw Cattail Falls for the first time. It looked like something that didn't belong in the desert, but there it was. Something was there that I did not know was there. And if you're in a desert right now, the same is true for you. I just spent the last couple of days doing what I am encouraging you to do. Examine your season. Look back over this summer. June was my best month. I loved July because of the opportunities to share the Beatitudes, but July also fatigued me, and August wrung me dry. I normally write a good deal. Not so much this summer. My spiritual journal reads like someone who is in the midst of constant battle. And we all are. We were born on a battlefield. We continue to live on a battlefield. There are a lot of good entries in my journal. Every week the gratitude list is full, but the low times in my summer journey are getting a little longer than normal. So by stopping at my momentary confluence here at the end of the summer,
and backtracking up the tributaries of my current moment, I made this discovery. I think I discovered why I might be talking about water in the desert today. My last 3 months are full of H2O references. Here are only a few. June 21st. I heard the author of The Shack, William Paul Young, say, "Trust the ripples," meaning let God determine the significance of your wake each day as you sail in and out of other people's lives. Let Him produce the outcome of all of our actions. July 22nd, a quote by St. Bernard of Clairvaux opened my eyes to where I was. "If then you are wise, you will show yourself rather as a reservoir than a canal. A canal spreads abroad water as it receives it, but a reservoir waits until it is filled before overflowing, and thus without loss to itself, it shares its superabundant water." I realized upon reading that I am over-canaled at times, constantly drained. Even with a fresh 2-hour refill every morning, it's still happening. I immediately thought about what Jesus said in John 7:37-38. "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The indication there in the Greek is will overflow, a constant overflow, a constant spillover of living water, the living water of Jesus Christ that is within us. August 7th, an Anne Voskamp devotional written during the Olympics compared swimming to the Christian life. When you hit the wall, that's not the time to give up. That's the time to push deeper. The depth happens at the turn. Turn, and at the turn, go deep. Going deep into silence, into solitude, into the sacred word, into union with God propels you forward toward the fullest life. What happens under the surface is what will ultimately overcome. What decides the race of life is the inner life. When the intensity of things goes higher is when we go deeper. August 31st. After going to Planet Fitness last Saturday night to discover they closed at 7 p.m., I decided to go for a 3-mile walk instead. It was dusk when I started. It was also dry. But 1 mile in, it began to rain, and then it began to pour, and it was dark. I walked for 2 miles in the pouring rain at the end of a week when I was totally exhausted. And that walk in the rain revived me. I think my undersong is obvious. This summer has been a confluence in the desert. I didn't see it, though, until I stopped and pondered the last 3 months. What God did for me, what He showed me, He can do for you if you will take the time to spend with Him and ask Him to show you what you may not yet know is there. On this past Saturday morning, August 31st, I'm sitting in solitude at my kitchen table. I am pondering confluence. And this seemed to jump from my pen to paper. Confluence. You can't stop a confluence. You can marvel at it. You can go with it. You can trace it back up every tributary to the sources from whence it came. Understanding it is an appreciation. Enjoying it is an adventure. Trusting it is an altar call. It is flowing towards rapids, waterfall, ocean, life, death, or home. Well, there you are, my friend. Glad you sat down to this table of redemption. Until next time, keep listening to the whisper of God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit.